Strong winds, hail, and tornadoes brought down power lines, ripped off roofs, and uprooted trees. This man lives in Highland.
I heard like very hard drops hitting the window. I grabbed my family and ran to the basement. I heard a loud screeching sound and kind of like a loud train coming at the house.
There are reports of damage and power outages in the Chicago area as well. The president will host a big executive order signing at the White House this afternoon as he tries to dismantle the Department of Education.
The administration likes to say that only 10% of total funding on average in school districts comes from the federal government through the Department of Ed, but it kind of masks how important these dollars are.
It still would require congressional approval. Sources with the Department of Homeland Security tell CBS News a Georgetown University researcher has been detained by immigration authorities over claims he's been spreading Hamas propaganda and promoting anti-Semitism. Reporter Nicole Skanga has details.
Badar Khan Suri, an Indian national, was teaching and studying at Georgetown University. According to a spokesperson, the school is not aware of him engaging in any illegal activity, and they've not yet received a reason for his detention.
More airstrikes in Gaza. Last night, more than 58 Palestinians were killed. The BBC's Yolan Nell is in Jerusalem.
We've had comments from Washington basically saying that a bridging proposal that it put forward last week was still on the table, at least for now. Hamas, of course, had rejected that proposal. It put forward its own proposal to extend the ceasefire, whereby a smaller number of hostages would be returned.
Charges for a Republican Minnesota state senator for an alleged attempt to solicit sex from a minor. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
The federal charges say the 40-year-old's arrest was after he began texting the girl, who gave her age multiple times, with him saying, "What's a guy got to do to get with the hottest girl online tonight?" During his arrest, police say they found two cell phones, a condom, and cash. Eichhorn is married with four children.
If you stay up late, you have a higher risk of depression. That from researchers out of a new study out of the UK. They say it is likely due to poor sleep quality and even higher alcohol consumption. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local news on WRJN is brought to you hourly by Conventional Concrete Systems. Top-notch work with a beautiful finish. 262-206-3168.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. It's a double dose of dignitaries in Racine today. Governor Tony Evers and U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin are set to visit. Evers will tour Veterans Outreach of Wisconsin and will talk about his budget initiatives aimed at supporting veterans. This afternoon, Baldwin will continue her hands-off Medicaid tour at the MLK Community Center. According to a report on CBS 58, Microsoft has temporarily halted construction on two of their Racine County sites. They have three total. Company officials tell the TV station that the rest of the data center project in Mount Pleasant is still on track, with the first phase expected to open in 2026. The company says they need to reevaluate the market before moving ahead. Health concerns and prior commitments are some of the reasons why a few alders didn't get to a Racine Common Council meeting Tuesday night. The Racine County Eye goes deeper about what alders showed, which ones didn't, and the reasons why the delayed veto vote. Read all about it at RacineCountyEye.com. Did your car get dirty after the rain yesterday? There's a name for the phenomenon, dirty rain. People across the area were surprised to find their vehicles covered in a grimy film yesterday as a result of the dirty rain. The National Weather Service says it's particles from western wildfires mixing with rainfall. The combination of smoke carried by the wind and the rain created the perfect condition for the messy weather event. And the stage is set for Racine's basketball teams to shine in the state high school basketball tournament. WRJN will air the Prairie School's Division IV game against Bonduelle at 6 tonight. Tomorrow, Park makes a historic return to the state stage, facing off against Cedarburg. If either team secures a spot in the championship, WRJN will broadcast that game on Saturday. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Conventional Concrete Systems is making concrete great again as the best in the Midwest. If it's a sidewalk, patio, driveway, floor, curb, or gutter, experience matters. Their experts have you covered. Your home deserves the very best. Conventional Concrete Systems provides precision and excellence to every project. It's top-notch work with a beautiful finish that's built to last. Visit them on Facebook or call 262-206-3168 to get started today.
The Brewers beat the White Sox. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. Baseball, the Brewers with a 5-4 win over the Chicago White Sox. Spring training wrapping up this weekend. Opening day a week from today when the crew opens the season in the Bronx against the New York Yankees. March Madness, the Wisconsin Badgers against Montana today in Denver. We'll have a recap after the game. Marquette is in Cleveland where they'll face New Mexico tomorrow night. Game time 6:25. How much will making it to the tournament for a fourth year in a row help the Golden Eagles? Head coach Shaka Smart.
I think a ton. Having been through the twists and turns of the NCAA tournament, I think both the wins that we've had and also the losses we've had taught us a lot of lessons, taught those guys a lot of lessons. When you get to the NCAA tournament, it does feel different. You know, there's a lot of different things around it. Being able to normalize that feeling and understand that we've been here before, it still comes down to trying to be the best version of yourselves as a team and individually out there on the court.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
We are going to start things off a little breezy this morning with a little bit of blowing snow, but the wind will die down. The sun will come out as we head into the afternoon. 37 today with wind decreasing this afternoon. Tonight, clear 30. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and breezy with a high near 51. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Sleep deprivation in a mother leads to murder. It's true. My wife's a beautiful woman, and she installs faith in life. She's like, you know, the kids, and make sure you thank God for a wonderful day, and just thank Him for everything we have, and just we're blessed. And but if she don't nap, if she don't sleep, the devil goes, I'll take over from here. And there is nothing worse than waking up as a man in the middle of the night, like 5 a.m, and your wife's just sitting on the edge of the bed. Just staring at you. Baby, what are you doing up so early? Up so early? I haven't been to bed yet. I haven't had any sleep whatsoever. We came to bed together at 10, and we went to bed. No, no. You fell asleep at 10. And who can fall asleep when you fall asleep? Because you pass out, your mouth is always facing my way, and your breath is disgusting. It's disgusting. You need to go to a doctor. I have no eyebrows left because of your breath blowing on my face.
Never had any complaints when I lived alone. For that 9 years between wives, I never nobody complained. It was always, you know, it was always a happy house. The dog, my Pomeranian, used to sleep on the bed with me. She didn't complain. Although I did feel her sometimes. She used to bark in the middle of the night, woof, woof, right in my face. She used to dream. And the paws used to go crazy and wake me up.
I wonder what she says about you, though.
She didn't say anything now. She's in a box on my shelf. So she's not saying anything. Melissa Caprillion is here. Melissa Caprillion is the fifth alder in the alder in the fifth district. I got to get these straight. And also, you're a board supervisor, county board supervisor in the second. In third, fourth, fifth.
Fourth
district. There are too many numbers for me.
Okay.
It's springtime. Welcome to the first day of spring.
Well,
it kicked in
you.
At 4:01 this morning.
Oh, I didn't know that. Feel like it.
I went from spring coat to winter coat, spring coat to winter coat, back to winter coat. This is why people are getting sick.
It's variety. It keeps everything interesting.
So you're running again for the fifth Aldermanic district.
I am.
And this is, how many terms have you been alderman?
Well, it's hard because they're not consecutive. So this will be going into my third term back on the council. So I started back up in 2021.
How many years are there per term?
2 years.
Two years. Oh, it's constantly running for office.
It is, and because I sit on the county, and it's alternate years, so every year I'm running for office.
So how does it work? The odd number...
For the city, so the odd numbers are up during the odd year election. So it's 2025, so those are the odd number seats. For the county board, they're all up at once.
It's like Congress now, this next 2 years or year and a half, the U.S. Congress is all up. Every 2 years, these people are constantly running for office.
Yeah.
There's no end to it. I couldn't do that.
Well, what's sad for us is just we get tons of election material, right? Lots of those mailers, lots of the phone calls, a lot of the...
Oh, I get them knocking on my door.
The ads, yeah.
I had a young lady the other day with a guy come knocking at my door. And didn't knock, she hit the doorbell. And she hits me with this smile. Hi, how are you? I said, boy, I said, you got to tone down that happiness just a couple of notches. Go from an 11 down to like a 4 and we'll be good. She's, no, I'm just very excited about the race. And she handed me a bunch of stuff. I said, well, I think I got this in the mail. I know, but I think you'd like to read it again. Now, the guy wasn't like that, but she was just so happy to be alive and going door to door. And it was nasty outside. It wasn't even a nice day. I said, would you like a bottle of water? Oh, no, I have to go to the next house. And
so, that energy is great, though, because I'm gonna tell you, Don, knocking on the doors, I think what she's doing is trying to set the tone that's going to be on the other end, or at least balance it, because sometimes it's private space. People don't answer the door like they used to. I remember as a little girl, if somebody knocked at her door, we would run with excitement, who's at the door, peek. And same with the telephone. The whole family would run to the telephone. Who's calling us?
I have to ask you, and I ask everybody running for office, why do you want to do this? I mean, I know you're very involved in the community. You do things for food banks and every type of charity. I go home, lock my door, bolt it, put the board of wood in front of it, a piece of furniture in front. But you tend to go out and do all this stuff. Why do you want to run for office? I don't think it's a win-win, though.
Oh,
I think
I hear the anguish in the question.
I get your tone.
Yeah, no. Don, it has to do with my family we have many generations that are here in this community. And on my father's side, my great-grandmother came here from refuge from the Armenian genocide, and then myself through the journey understanding that story, and she found a place of home here, my grandfather, my mother, and I myself had experienced some time in my childhood that I didn't have a home. So I found myself experiencing homelessness. And by the time then I became a mother, a young mother, I knew once I got my own house and my own place to call that I was going to have my children be in a place that they could call home, no matter outside of my four walls that we own, but the community itself is home. And so that philosophy, my daughter will be 32 this year. And so that's how I lived life. And the only way to get it to feel like home is to involve yourself. The more you know, the more safe and secure you feel. And it's really about connecting with the people. When I found myself experiencing homelessness, there's a lot of times where people would walk by you or drive by you, which is common, right? I mean, people drive their car. It's not like they're stopping and talking to people that are walking on the streets and understand their story. But when you are walking and you're in that state, you have this sense of feeling isolated and not part of your community, like you're not being seen. And so how I chose to and how I still choose to conduct myself is to see people. And it means just really involving yourself in their issues, because oftentimes you can't talk to everybody, but you can get involved in many aspects of our community, from nonprofit work to civic work and even in this neighborhood work, that I do. And it helps you really to get a good sense of community and a good sense of what is troubling or the things you need to work on to better the space that you live in. So it all stems from really my childhood and then just my family roots. These streets are like the veins that I have, and that you have too. And it's about human connection. This is the only time that we have an opportunity to connect with the people that are around us. You know, we only have this one life to live. Well, unless you have a different religious belief, but we only have this one life to live. And, you know, why not do it in a way that expands your bubble and includes more than just yourself, to enrich yourself and everyone else's life?
And I'm glad there are people like you. Oh, because if I ran the world, we'd all be sitting in our house all day doing nothing.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and that doesn't sound that exciting. All you get to do is to, you know, combat your own thoughts. So,
but yeah. I'm glad there are people that
Thank
go
you.
Out and run for office and do these sort of things. Plus, I know you help out in the community in a lot of other ways.
Yeah.
You wanted to talk about the veto, the ordinances behind what this was. We had this in the news the other day where there was, I guess it wasn't a quorum, and the whole session with the mayor lasted about 30 seconds, and I talked to the mayor about it yesterday. You got a angle on this?
I do. Well, first of all, you know, we showed up at the council meeting on Tuesday, and I think just a lot of unfortunate events kind of occurred. We had some health issues of some others. These I found out afterward, and some emergency, and it just... For whatever reason, we couldn't make a quorum. And so, you know, by law, we can't continue on with business. But we had the council chambers were full, which is such a delight to see. You know, that's something that I find comfort in. It's hard when we are making these city decisions that truly affect all the community members and affects their service, and we don't have an audience. So I prefer that there's an audience. It helps the alders to be accountable for the decisions that they're making. Because, Don, what's often missing is the media there. We used to have the media at every single meeting. We'd have
Tom Carco.
And we would have the Journal Times sitting at every meeting. And we don't have that anymore. So it's hard to always have that sense of accountability. And this issue right now that we're about to talk about is one of those that people should be paying attention to. And it's the structure, and we've back, if you remember, during the boycott, when a handful of us alders stepped out of one meeting, we missed one meeting, but it was really to make a stance about transparency. And there's three branches of government, and it's not only here at the local level, but, you know, it's the foundation of our government here in the United States. And there's a reason for that. And, you know, there has to be this balance of power. And our legislative branch has been losing its power over, you know, some time that I find that this mayor has been in office. And, you know, and I'm sure for him, it's this level of efficiency for him, because for him, you have a more sense of control. And, you know, yourself, when you can make your own decisions for your own household instead of somebody else come inflicting on it, you know, you have to. It's not a smooth process. So I get the wanting to be in control, but it doesn't work for government, especially representative government. And so I have people to answer to. I have constituents to answer to, along with the other alders. And we need to be in control of our process. We need to be able to bring up agenda items and have them go through, have them discussed and go through a process, because we owe it. We have to be accountable, back to that word accountable, to our constituents. And when that is held up because you have a different branch of government controlling it, because it might not be issues they want to bring up and might slow whatever progress they want to make. But, you know, this is not the way that government is set up to be. It's not, you know, it's not supposed to be a monarchy. And I find now, so that set of ordinances that we changed back during the boycott allowed us to get the items that we want to talk about. Those are called communications, to put on an agenda. Agendas control how our what topics are brought up at the city council and the standing committees. Now what we're looking at is making, like all the other, the Congress and, you know, the president doesn't control who's on committees, same with our governor, same with the county executive. It's all worked within the legislative branch. They get to pick who is on which standing committee. So nonprofit boards as well. You have a nonprofit board. They elect who is the president of that board and who may be the vice president, the treasurer, the secretary. You don't have the executive director who gets to choose that. It's the governing body, the legislative body. So there's a few things being worked on in this ordinance, and it's to allow the legislative body to be able to elect not only the president, which we currently do, but a vice president. Because we found last during budget cycle, what came up was the mayor wasn't there, and then the president of the council wasn't there. And so we kind of all looked around the room, okay, well, now what? And, you know, lucky for us, we had David Mack with some experience running meetings. So it was voted on by the body for David Mack to run one of our budget meetings. And he was freshly put back on the council. So, but he did such a great job. So now it's allow us to have a vice president of the body, which there's that at all other levels of government. And then it's also to allow the body to the president to put the people on the standing committees. So it makes sense. You're in control of your own legislative body, and then another proposed an amendment that allowed then those standing committees to elect their chair and vice chair. And I think it was just the chair, maybe. But that's the same thing with any nonprofit board. Again, the legislative body gets to then, or the governing body gets to elect the people in that position. It just makes sense. It's where the balance of government should be. You should not be having one of the other branches, the executive branch, coming over and establishing who's on what, because what happens is you put the people you want so you can control the outcome and you can control what issues are getting brought up. And we need a transparent government, especially when we're coming up for troubling times with our budget. We're going to be hitting some deficit. We're already having to make some really big decisions, and we need to be able to have that control. We need to be able to bring our constituents' voices to our council and bring them forward. And so as much as we can control our legislative branch, I think the better outcome. And right now the legislative branch is not inflicting, it's taking away power from the executive branch. The executive branch, the mayor, still has every single one of his powers intact. And he wouldn't like it if we took his veto power away from him. And so he has that. He's inflicted his right. He didn't agree with these changes because it does then lessen his ability, as he quote unquote says, to be more efficient. But it's to be more efficient on what he wants to bring forward and what he wants to stop bringing forward. And it doesn't allow him to set up who he wants on his executive committee. He does still get ability to pick one member of the council body to be on the executive, because how it's set up right now, Don, is the standing committees, whoever chairs the standing committees, that makes up his executive committee. And then there's also an additional position. Then he will get to select that additional spot on his executive committee.
And just for the record, I don't make the decisions in my house.
Oh, okay.
You mentioned you make the decisions in your house. No, I don't make the decisions in my house. Just I want the record clear on that.
But you have faith in your wife because she has made such great decisions. And I know she's on top of your health.
Doesn't matter what I feel. The decisions have been made. I have to live with them. And that's just the way it is.
And look how great you are.
I'm a foot taller than her. And she's still... I have fear.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what? Good for her, because of that, I'm sure you are a better person.
Let's two things I want to get in here. Let's do this first here, because I had your opponent do this with you. And Jens Jorgensen is the person running against you in the 5th Aldermanic District. Say one thing nice about him and give a criticism of something he could do better.
I love how you asked that question. And you know what our community needs? We need more people moving into it and not out of it. And Jens Jorgensen and his wife have chosen back in October of 23 to come into our community and make it their home. And we need more transplants. We need more people coming into our community and making or seeing their home. I heard on the radio he's got a baby on the way. So this is going to be the birthplace of their child. And that's what we need. We need more people investing into this space. So, you know, we've got to appreciate and honor that decision. And, you know, I hope that, you know, Jens, he's young. I have two children who are older than him. And, you know, I love the ambition to want to get into government. And I think that should always be there. And we should instill in our youth this sense to want to serve. But do it on your own merit. You know, when I'm doing the doors and I've been hearing a lot of your opponent is saying this about you. And it's like, well, this young gentleman just moved into the community. He doesn't know this community. And he runs off of wanting to run on, you know, the attack on the library. He doesn't understand the library. He hasn't lived here. And how many times has he been in the library? There's a history behind everything. Honor that, or you disrespect the place that you're trying to call home. And at first, the message might be shocking and people might consume it. But after a while, the taste starts to get bitter in the mouth. So please, you know, honor this community and get to know it. Get to know the spaces, because we've all, the people who have invested in this place, it means more than just those shock conversations. You know, the buildings have a history. There's some nostalgia with the spaces, and a lot of family growth and a lot of family hardship has happened on these streets and these homes and these buildings. So when you come in and try to take over a story with some fabricated mission or on the back of somebody else's struggle, Jens doesn't know me. And so it's better to honor the person that you're running against and make this also be about who you are. So I would like him to celebrate him and not so much try to tear me down.
Last 30 seconds. Why should people vote Melissa Caprillion on April 1st?
You know, I bring a lot of historical and institutional knowledge that has come from wisdom that I've gained not only in government, working as an elected official, but, you know, the history that I have with not only nonprofit boards, but with the community and just my choice and my philosophy of living. You know, I've gained quite a bit where I can be a voice of, I can be a voice for our vision moving forward because I understand this history and I understand somebody new coming in. There is a time for that. There truly is a time. But right now we're facing some big, big decisions, some decisions that are going to be very difficult, and you have to understand them to its full complexities. And you need somebody with wisdom for that. I can't give my child who's 12 years old, I can't give him the responsibilities to make decisions in my house that may necessarily mean where we have to lessen our consumption of energy or water. And, you know, maybe there's a decision of bankruptcy or something like that. It's way too complex. And it's going to be the same now. You need to be able to bring the adults. You need to bring the ones that carry the wisdom and carry that connection of why situations are the way, and to find bigger solutions or to find possible solutions. You need to have that wisdom. So, you know, I'm hoping that the residents understand that I have a dedication and that I have a principled stance, and I don't let politics get in the way. This is truly a principled stance on the issues. That's why it's fundamentally important that we focus on the structuring of government and these three, balancing these branches of government, so we can go into these harder decisions with a very good, steady foundation.
Melissa Caprillion, your alder in the 5th District, wants to be reelected. I can't even speak. Maybe I should run for office. She wants to be reelected again. The voting takes place on April 1st. April Fool's Day. What were they thinking?
Oh, goodness. The irony of that sometimes when you think about it.
And vote. Just get out there and vote. And if you don't vote, don't complain, all right? So April 1st, you can vote wherever your polling place is. Don't forget where it is. Just look it up if you forgot. And it's Melissa Caprillion, and she'll be on the ballot. And good luck to you.
Thank you, Don.
All right. 728 WRJN Tampa. The rest of the story from Paul Harvey, sponsored daily by Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha on 75th Street and 30th Avenue. Kenosha's family tradition for stunning customized floral arrangements, homemade candles, and premium chocolates. Sunnyside Florist brings you Paul Harvey and the rest of the story. Paul, in just 30 seconds.
Easter is almost here. Celebrate with a stunning floral arrangement from Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha. Cheerful tulips, elegant lilies, custom Easter baskets bursting with color. They have the perfect blooms to brighten any home or gathering. And don't forget to bring Grand Fine Chocolates, a sweet treat for any Easter basket. Surprise someone special in the most beautiful way. Stop by Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha today. Enter the spacious parking lot from 75th Street, just west of 30th Avenue. Open until 7 p.m. weeknights and 2 p.m. on Saturdays.
Now, the rest of the story. Joni Molinsky. She had waited such a long time to have a real date with a real boy. She had waited until her freshman year at Connecticut College. In fact, it was to be a blind date. But that was okay. The girl who had fixed it up had promised he's an adorable boy from Yale. So, Joni, the perpetual outsider, maybe for the first time in her lonely, longing life, got her hopes way up. For the big evening, she wore her best gray flannel dress with matching gray flannel shoes. Primping in the mirror, she frowned at her ample 132 pounds, then tugged at her clothing, vainly attempting to conceal it. When her girlfriend excitedly called out, "He's here," Joni caught her breath. With all of the poise that she could muster, began descending the dormitory stairway. Now they were face to face, she and the young man who was about to make up for all of the years of alienation and humiliation. And the adorable boy from Yale, who might have made her fondest dreams come true, or at least ought to have left them undisturbed, turned to Joni's girlfriend, the one who had arranged the blind date, and with an expression of disgust, admonished aloud, "Why didn't you tell me?" The rest of the evening, the boy protested his predicament by utterly ignoring Joni. And then after a brief while that seemed a lifetime for both, he was gone. For him, the awkward experience may have rendered a crude story or two for friends back at Yale before it was dismissed and forgotten. But not for Joni. For her, the nightmare blind date lived on in eyes that yearned for the happiness they saw in others' lives, in a heart that ached for all that it was not allowed to share, in lips now certain they would never smile again. But this is the rest of the story. Years later, Joni Molinsky has a life and a home and, yes, a loving husband of her own. She's giving a large dinner party. Among her invited guests is a female acquaintance whom she's not seen in years, never met the woman's husband, she thinks. And into Joni's house they walk. That's right, the husband, now a bald, fat, 40-something doctor, was once the adorable boy from Yale who broke Joni Molinsky's heart. And more startling still, he does not remember Joni. Does not even remember her. An obvious cheater, he proceeded to make passes at his hostess. He tried to get her alone in the kitchen, stares lecherously, makes physical contact wherever possible, offers incredibly, "Let me help you," without suggesting precisely how. No, Joni does not attempt to remind him of that dreadful evening years before, nor after this one will she ever see him again. But he will see her. The emotions he conjured would inspire a screenplay entitled "The Girl Most Likely To." Yes, Joni Molinsky's screenplay about an ugly duckling girl who grows up to become a swan of sorts and then murders every boy who ever slighted her. For years now, you have been delighted by the brash self-confidence of the star Joni Molinsky became. But today, you have met the impossible dreamer, the shy, scared, forgettable girl behind the quick smile and the lightning quip who one day would call herself Joan Rivers. Only now you know the rest of the story.
Hey, we got another Paul Harvey coming up with Dan Marcus, 12:05 this afternoon here at WRJN. It is 7:33. Let's check local news. Once again, here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. It's a double dose of dignitaries in Racine today. Governor Tony Evers and U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin are set to visit. Evers will tour Veterans Outreach of Wisconsin and will talk about his budget initiatives aimed at supporting veterans. This afternoon, Baldwin will continue her hands-off Medicaid tour at the MLK Community Center. According to a report on CBS 58, Microsoft has temporarily halted construction on two of their Racine County sites. They have three total. Company officials tell the TV station that the rest of the data center project in Mount Pleasant is still on track, with the first phase expected to open in 2026. The company says they need to reevaluate the market before moving ahead.
Health concerns and prior commitments are some of the reasons why a few alders didn't get to a Racine Common Council meeting Tuesday night. The Racine County Eye goes deeper about what alders showed, which ones didn't, and the reasons why the delayed veto vote. Read all about it at RacineCountyEye.com. Did your car get dirty after the rain yesterday? There's a name for the phenomenon, dirty rain. People across the area were surprised to find their vehicles covered in a grimy film yesterday as a result of the dirty rain. The National Weather Service says it's particles from western wildfires mixing with rainfall. The combination of smoke carried by the wind and the rain created the perfect condition for the messy weather event. And the stage is set for Racine's basketball teams to shine in the state high school basketball tournament. WRJN will air the Prairie School's Division 4 game against Bonduel at 6 tonight. Tomorrow, Park makes a historic return to the state stage, facing off against Cedarburg. If either team secures a spot in the championship, WRJN will broadcast that game on Saturday. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Corn growers are getting excited. It looks like E15 for use year-round is about ready to cross the finish line. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. This is something corn growers have been talking about at Capitol Hill for quite a little while. That includes Patrick Sayer. He is the vice president of the Missouri Corn Growers Association. He says the big topic this year has been year-round E15. And he says, for the first time, the oil industry is backing the same legislation.
I'm feeling very optimistic that we're close. We're very close because we have the oil industry's actually for probably the first time ever. They're actually behind it too. They'd like to have a nationwide fix so they can proceed and not have, especially fuels that they got to, different blends here, different blends there. So be a nationwide fix, makes their process work easier. And it's good for everybody in general, everybody, consumer down to the producer.
Patrick Sayer, a corn producer from Missouri in Washington, D.C., continuing to send a message to Capitol Hill that E15 year-round not only helps farmers, it also helps consumers. Markets and overnight electronic trade this morning. Well, the corn might be benefiting from some of that conversation. Corn is up, soybeans are down. I'll give you the rest of the story next.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 63 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for April 1st through the 3rd at the EAA grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit wisconsinpublicservice.com.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped a half a cent to 156.5. 40-pound block cheese was up 3, 160.5. The April Class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning is up 13 cents at 17.19. May close 21 cents stronger, 17.26. So currently, the May corn is up 2 at 4.64. December new crop up a penny at 4.52. May soybeans are down 2.5 at 10.06. November new crop down 3.5 at 10.06. July new crop wheat, that's down a penny right now at 5.79 a bushel. I'm PM Yonke.
We are going to start things off a little breezy this morning with a little bit of blowing snow, but the wind will die down. The sun will come out as we head into the afternoon. 37 today with wind decreasing this afternoon. Tonight, clear 30. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and breezy with a high near 51. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
There are buttons in my car I've never used, never will use. There's a button with squiggly lines next to a misshapen peanut. I don't know. Never touched it. Don't get me started on the dashboard lights, too. Dashboard lights are not illuminated all the time, so when they are, it must mean something serious, right? But check engine, that's vague. checked it, it's there. And I shouldn't have to guess from an exclamation point between two parentheses that my tire pressure is low. But if my windshield wiper fluid is low, all the words, windshield wiper fluid low. My God. Pull over.
I see walking in these woods. Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want. Listen to me, Little Red Riding Hood. I don't think little big girls should spooky old woods alone. Oh, what big eyes you have, the kind of eyes that drive wolves mad. So just to see that you don't get chased, I think I ought to walk with you for a ways. What full lips you have, they're sure to lure someone bad. So until you trusted walking with you alone. Oh, Little Red Riding Hood, I'd like to hold you if I could, but you might think I'm a big bad wolf, so I won't.
Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs, Little Red Riding Hood. It's 7:42 local news. Time to sit at WRJN. You miss being a kid? I do. Here are 15 things we miss about being a kid. Not having to pay for anything. Oh, that was great, wasn't it? You just want something. Hey, Dad, take out your wallet. Falling asleep in the car and magically waking up in bed. We used to go to the drive-in movies, and I used to start watching the movie and somehow wound up in bed, woke up the next morning. Your knees and back not aching constantly. Boy, do I miss that. Not having to figure out what to cook every day, not knowing how insane the world is, or at least you don't have to worry about it. You had adults worrying about that. Summer break. How about that first time when you actually graduated school and you had to go to work in the summer? You said, wait a second here. I'm supposed to get off June, July, and August. Why am I working? Your evenings and weekends wide open all the time. For anyone middle-aged and up, not feeling pressure to be in constant contact. When you were a kid, there was no social media, no smartphones, much simpler times. Being spoiled rotten by your parents and grandparents. I was spoiled rotten, I'll admit it. Being oblivious to how dysfunctional your family was. Your home feeling much roomier, probably because you were a lot smaller, so it felt a lot bigger. You know, I look back at my old bedroom that I grew up in. It was like the size of a refrigerator. But it looked so big to me when I was a little kid. Those pre-teenage years when you were not insecure yet. How about naps or that carton of milk you got? Remember that little tiny carton of milk at school? The magic of birthdays and Christmas. Ah, birthdays always magical. Christmas, you couldn't wait till it got in. Now you can't wait till it's over. The world was your oyster. Your whole life was ahead of you. So it felt like you could do anything. You still had the rest of your life ahead of you. And you know what? You still do. And it's okay to look back to when you were a kid, because I loved my childhood. I was lucky to have great parents, great friends in the neighborhood. So I consider myself very fortunate. I was very lucky. 744 local news. Tamla sits at WRJN on this first day of spring. We have a gradual clearing today with a high near 38. Clear tonight, lows around 30. Increasing clouds tomorrow, highs near 53. For the weekend, sunshine Saturday, 39 the high. Rain on Sunday, high near 45. Cloudy, 33 degrees right now, right here at Radio Park. 99.9 FM in Racine. 98.1 FM in Kenosha. And everywhere, the legendary, historic frequency of AM 1400. Here come the Stones.
I see a red door and I want it painted black. No colors anymore, I want them to turn black. I see the girls walk by dressed in their summer clothes. I have to turn my head until my darkness goes. I see a line of cars and they are painted black, with flowers and my love hope never to come back. I see people turn their heads and quickly look away, like a newborn baby, it just happens every day. I look inside myself and see my heart is black. See my red door, I must have it into black. Maybe then I'll fade away and not have to face the facts. It's not easy facing up when your whole world is black. No more will my green signal turn a deeper blue. I could not foresee this thing happening to you.
Song. Local news, timeless hits, WRJN. It's 7:48. A pleasant good morning on the first day of spring. Well, you know what? Everybody says, well, it's the first day of spring. Why isn't it sunny with the flowers coming up? I don't think it works that fast. I think it takes a little while for that kind of stuff to happen. Well, someone asked couples to name unique relationship rules that they have. Examples include having all your big fights over text messaging. Keeps the volume level down, I guess. Buying separate groceries. Living in a duplex so you both have your own space. I don't know about that. And only fighting when you're both naked. Does that really help? I don't know. I never tried it before. Let's check in with Pete, see what's going on in showbiz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's one of Pete's picks. A couple weeks ago, I talked about the film The Gorge on Apple TV, and I referred to it as not a great movie, but a great streaming movie that you can watch at home. The same applies for the film Elevation. It's yet another post-apocalyptic film where giant insect-type creatures emerge from the middle of the Earth and wipe out 95% of the population, leaving only those who live in the mountains above 8,000 feet due to the fact that the creatures cannot survive at that altitude. The film is well cast, well acted, and has some pretty harrowing moments as star Anthony Mackie has to descend below 8,000 feet in search of inhalers for his son who has asthma. Not a bad watch, and I do recommend. For those of you eagerly awaiting season 4 of Ted Lasso, if your favorite character was Lasso's son Henry, you'll be disappointed to know that the show will recast the role played by Gus Turner, who played the role for 3 seasons. On the bright side, if you're an actor and can pull off playing a 12-year-old, this could be your big breakthrough. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's nothing quite like the rich aroma of slow-cooked brisket or the sweet scent of a homemade pie fresh from the oven. At Mrs. Rivers Bakery and Smokehouse, every cut of meat is smoked low and slow to perfection. Every dessert and pie is made from scratch. From fluffy pancakes at breakfast to a warm, hearty soup with lunch, flavor and love can be found in every bite and served all day. Mrs. Rivers Bakery and Smokehouse, open Tuesday through Sunday, 7 to 2 on Durand Avenue in Sturtevant, one block west of School Days Mall. Stop on by.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
Judge Brad Schimmel sure has a lot of special interest donors. Big drug companies, corporate lobbyists, right-wing billionaires, and extremist groups. Schimmel once claimed that there's nothing wrong with politicians using their office to benefit their own campaign's contributors. And as Attorney General, Schimmel repeatedly took action to put his own campaign donors' interests ahead of Wisconsin residents. He refused to sue the big drug companies responsible for the opioid crisis. He supports a pre-Civil War law to ban abortion. And he sued to overturn the health care law that protects people with pre-existing conditions. Under his watch, fines for corporate polluters dropped to a 30-year low, all while Wisconsinites were left behind. Tell Judge Brad Schimmel to watch out for us, not his special interest sponsors. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes. So it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Being alone at night makes me sad, girl. Yet brings me down, all right. Tossing and turning and freezing. Fun together. I was sure that you were mine, but leaving you, baby, is driving me crazy. It's got me wondering all the time.
Julie,
Bobby Sherman, Julie. Do you love me? It's 7:55, local news, Tamla's Hits, WRJN. Gradual clearing today with a high near 38, right now cloudy and 32 degrees here at Radio Park on this first day of spring. So this woman who drives a doggy daycare bus in Wisconsin posted a St. Patrick's Day video that's blowing up online. She put green hats and bows on all the dogs, all 20 of them. A dog named Aspen also had a birthday that day, turning two, so everyone got a hunk of cheese. The woman's business is called Canine Convoy. It's up in northern Wisconsin somewhere. She says it's the best job she ever had. I've seen these buses where the dogs, they open the door, the dogs get on the bus, they take a seat on the bus, and they act really calm. Not like, you know, when you're a school bus where kids are throwing things around, jumping all over the place. The dogs are well-behaved. They don't do anything but just ride on the bus. I love it. 7:55, local news, Tamla's Hits, WRJN with the Jet Threes.
I keep on dancing for
keep on dancing. 7:58, local news, Tamla's Hits here at WRJ. And you know, 21% of people do not know the first names of their current next door neighbors. 40% of people wouldn't bother asking a next door neighbor if they needed to borrow a tool or needed an ingredient. I'm lucky. I know all their names. Yeah, I love my two next door neighbors on either side of me, and I do know their names. I do know their names. No, they're very sweet people, and I love them both. And I do know their names. Yes, I do. All right, Leslie Gore. Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows at WRJN.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together. Brighter than a lucky penny. When you're near, the rain goes, disappears, dear, and I feel so fine just to know that you are mine. My life is sunshine. Wonderful is sure to come your way when you're in love to stay. Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together. Brighter than a lucky penny. When you're near, the rain goes, disappears there, and I feel so fine just to know that you are mine. Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. That's how this refrain goes. So come on, join in. Hey.
Hey, good morning. It's 8 o'clock at WRJN. Let's check news.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN, Racine, Kenosha.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Stacey Lynn. President Trump is on a mission to shut down the Department of Education.
Protect our students. Protect
teachers in Warren, Michigan have held a protest to draw attention to, they say, the impact dismantling the Department of Education would have on students and the community. President Trump will sign an executive order to begin the process, but he can only go so far without Congress. Bob